Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You faced Aaron Rodgers twice when you're in Tennessee. What's the challenge of facing him? And does he still look like the same Aaron Rodgers that you saw?
I mean, I think the ball can go. I mean, when you see him extend the play to the right and throw it down 60 yards or whatever that was, his operation is excellent. His ability to find relief throws and plays that aren't that he doesn't think will be positive plays, he finds relief throws. You know, it'd be a great challenge to be able to find ways to affect them.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Patriots Steelers Sunday, Gillette Stadium, and get ready for some hardcore Ted Johnson-led preview talk and football talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 3 matchup between those aforementioned New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ted Johnson, so behind the scenes, we have our daily email chain bouncing things off, and boom, Ted unloaded on bullet points about this game. And I was like, well, right there. That's a segment. Ted's got a lot of numbers and thoughts and ideas and game plan and all this stuff. So, Ted Johnson, we look at this game between two teams that, first of all, do we all agree they're all kind of similar here? Like, the mediocre, the Steelers are meh, you're meh, like winnable, losable, we're in that.
They both have their flaws, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
The Steelers, I think, on if you were to do a tell the tape, I think have more flaws than the Patriots do.
Oh, I like the optimism right out the gates here. So tell me some of those flaws.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Patriots have the advantage offensively and defensively on the most important down of all downs, third.
Tree.
So I always like to look at kind of where they rank in red zone and in third down. They're both kind of evenly matched when it comes to red zone. But when it comes to third down, the Steelers rank 21st. And on third down and for their offense only at 36%, and the Pats are at 42%. They rank 15th, so the Pats theoretically have a better third down offense. They have a better third down defense than the Steelers. The Pats rank 14th, and the Steelers rank 23rd when it comes to that. I mean, the Steelers are one of the worst rushing teams in the NFL at 30th with only 3 yards per rush. But it's the defense that kind of has your head a little bit surprised. The Steelers have five guys on their defense that make over $17 million a year.
Jiminy.
You go, well, what does that compare to other teams? No team, they have two more than the next team that has that many defensive players making that kind of money. So they have tons of money invested in their defense, more than any other team in the NFL by far, yet they rank 29th in points allowed, almost 32 points a game. Conversely, the Patriots rank 19th, giving up 23 points a game. The Steelers rank 29th in yards allowed, almost 400 yards a game they're giving up. And the Steelers are dead last in sacks, where they only have three. The Patriots lead the NFL with nine. So just right there tells you a little bit something that's interesting. There's a big takeaway from this, though. Aaron Rodgers is averaging only 5.3 yards per attempt, which makes him dead last in the NFL. He is not throwing the ball downfield. It's all dink and dunk. However, the Steelers are number one in the NFL in yards after catch. They average by far almost a yard more than the next team in yards after catch. And what I'm worried about is the tackling of the middle linebackers. The Patriots' middle linebackers miss more tackles than any other middle linebackers on any NFL team. And I worry about Jonnu Smith and the other quarterback, the other tight end.
Pat Freiermuth.
Those guys, yards after catch against the linebackers who can't tackle, has me very, very concerned. 35% of the passing yards given up by the Patriots' defense are targeted to the linebackers. So I just worry about that short game to the tight ends and just to the wide receivers and the linebackers making tackles. That's where I think the Steelers can maybe exploit the Patriots a little bit.
And that's what Giardi was talking about, Fitzy, with, you know, the example of the DK Metcalf as Aaron Rodgers starts to learn his weapons and some of those passes that may have even been complete one week but aren't necessarily perfect for run-after-catch purposes. If he gets a little bit more in tune with where they are, their speed, and now all of a sudden he's hitting them in stride, and let's just say, I don't know, Robert Spillane is chasing and is a step behind, that's how those extra plays happen against this defense.
Now, they don't have anybody with the speed of Devon Achan or even Ashton Jeanty, though he was stymied accordingly in week one. But Jaylen Warren's a great pass-catching back out of the backfield, but he's getting stuffed at the line. Their offensive line is in shambles. Seems like I don't even know who, aside from Buffalo these days, has a decent offensive line in the AFC at least. Yeah, the Steelers are having a hard time with protecting Rodgers. They're having a hard time opening holes for Warren as well. And Caleb Johnson has not distinguished himself, the rookie running back, in the kick return game, nor as a running back as well. And it feels just sort of like overall, the Steelers right now, as much as we all may have been impressed, ooh, Rodgers, ooh, DK Metcalf, ooh, Jabril Peppers, ooh, Jalen Ramsey. They're getting by on a lot of reputation and, like Ted said, high-priced, expensive contract, name value and reputation, and not delivery and on-field performance.
Well, I think that's what Giardi was talking about. When you have five guys making $17 million, yeah, you should be a top five defense. That's why you were saying those types of things. You're expecting T.J. Watt to dominate games up front, make plays, put the ball in the air, and then, oh, I don't know, maybe Jalen Ramsey picks it off when the throw's a little bit off. So let me ask, is there any chance, though? I mean, are they just old, washed names? Are they just guys living off resumes?
A lot of them, yes.
Or could they come together? And, you know, we keep saying these get-right games. You know, are the Patriots' offense isn't beyond, like, being a get-right game for somebody, right? Like, they're still finding their own way in their own way.
So, yeah, can the Steelers all of a sudden rise up and play better than they have the first two games? Sure. No, they could, of course. They got these big names. But for 10 straight games, going back to the last eight games of last year, they haven't held an opponent under 300 yards.
Ooh.
They have. So it's there's carryover from the end of last year into this year. So, yeah, they can, but they haven't done it in almost, you know, half of a football season. So, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely, Andy. But this just the, you know, the best predictor of the future, they say, is the past. So I would bet against it. There are opportunities for this Patriots offense to get going. And then also, and you'd like to see the Patriots offense get going downfield. You know how bad the Patriots were in week one against Las Vegas against the big plays? I mean, they had nine plays of over 20 yards or more, explosive plays.
Yep.
The Patriots are terrible defending the quote-unquote explosive plays.
X plays, Vrabel calls.
You know who's worse than the Patriots?
I'm going to guess it's the Steelers.
Yes, sir. They're the worst team. They've given up more explosive plays than the Patriots have. So the bottom two teams in explosive plays given up on a defense are the Steelers and the Patriots.
So this is a booty call game. Because Kayshon Booty, I feel like, is the guy that if Drake May is going to try to take a couple chances down the field, it could be Kayshon Booty. Now, the flip side, I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is talking to DK Metcalf about we're going to have our opportunities to make some plays down the field. I want to go to you. A big variable in there could be the Christian Gonzalez situation, whether he does or doesn't play. I just think it's like really interesting. In some sense, these first three, four games feel like Groundhog Day in terms of, could I see the Patriots winning? Absolutely. Could I see them screwing it up and the other team winning? Absolutely. Could the other team screw it up and allow, like, you're kind of, this first month is definitely feel it out. But Fitzy, I mocked you many, many times. But in this specific case, the one I'm talking about.
My eyes are open.
Is, yep, the post-game show on Sunday. We were sort of joking about like 3-1's now on the table after the first month. And if you go 3-1, then 6-2 is on the table. But the reality is if you play, I guess, the cleaner game and just, Fitzy, I think that's what Mike McDaniel was trying to say when everybody mocked him the other night when he said, you know, before you to win the game, you have to not lose the game kind of thing. He was trying to be cerebral. He was trying to be, yep, Belichick and say,
that doesn't play very well with the football people.
Yeah, it didn't go well for him. But he was right. Like, if the Patriots can avoid losing, these games are all winnable. Like, just don't screw it up, right? Like, that should be their first mantra. Just don't screw it up. Or as Lou famously said, Fitzy, just suck a little. Right? Don't be the suckiest on the field. Suck a little. Because the other teams have the potential, and they've shown you that out the gates, to suck more than you.
Didn't Vrabel also say one of the key priorities for this football team was to play football good enough to take advantage of bad teams or teams that make losing plays?
From day one. Mm-hmm. From opening press conference.
Right. So if the Steelers come out and play a messier game than you play the cleaner game, it stands to reason you should, or you could put yourself in position in the fourth quarter to win this game. Carolina is known for shooting itself in the foot and making mistakes as a younger team with a second-year coach, dynamic as his offensive schemes might be, to do the same thing as well. And then you get into October. There's a save for the Buffalo game, which is a Sunday nighter with Buffalo in their iced-out rivalry jerseys. You have, against America's quarterback, you have three straight winnable games again until the schedule toughens up a bit in November. So, you know, don't put the cat before the proverbial, you know, winning season horse, but there's a chance the Pats could pick up a little steam here.
If they, I mean, come on. If they, to me, this is a big game because, gosh, then you got Carolina. It's,
yeah,
building off of last week's performance from an offensive standpoint to validate last week's performance. You gotta play well in this game, and that's the next step for Drake Maye. Can you consistently put good games back to back to back? We will see. But let me mention one other thing. So there's three players that are playing in this game for the Steelers that played against the Patriots last year that were on different teams. One being Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Last year, Aaron Rodgers versus the Pats, in the two games he played against the Patriots, he had a 70% completion percentage, 257 yards per game, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a QBR of 115.4. Last year, Jonnu Smith, when he was playing for Miami in the two games versus the Pats, he had 14 catches for 149 yards and a touchdown. And then also last year in the one game that he played when he was with the Seattle Seahawks, that is DK Metcalf. He had 10 catches for 129 yards, 12.9 average, 1 touchdown off of 14 targets. So those are all guys who are on different teams that are now on the Steelers that they toasted the Patriots last year. Again, it's last year's team, but still, it's still, I think, relevant for this one.
I don't know. 2 weeks ago, they played a guy that on a team from last year toasted them, and then he toasted him this year. His name was Geno Smith. He had his way with him last year on a different team, and then he had, yep, his way with him this year. I got to tell you, this Ted build-up thing, you built me up early. I was thinking all Patriots. I was feeling good about my pick. Oh, the running game, they can't run it, but you should be able to run it on them. I was all in. I was ready to run through a wall.
Trying
and
to get both sides of the argument.
And now you're like, well, DK kills him. A-Rod kills him. They're just getting Jonnu Smith. He's not even that good, and he kills him. Wow, you really took a turn there at the end. You made me feel.
I just want to put all the evidence out there for us to have a good discussion.
Yeah, you made me feel much less good about my pick with the back end of the Ted build-up, Fitzy. I'm not sure about you, but that made me less. That made me a little more Giardi, where I'm going to make my prediction with a question mark on the end rather than exclamation point.
Oh, to me, it actually sort of plays right down where my pick is going to go. I'm expecting a tight game with the Steelers looking better than they did last week, but not quite as dynamic as they were week one, when a highly motivated Rodgers got his John Wick-style payback against the New York Jets. I think the Patriots should be able to exploit this latest iteration of the Dick LeBeau defense, which has been carried through one coordinator after another, which Andrew Filippone from The Fan told us this morning on Six Rings, is really actually just coached by Mike Tomlin, and he's just been deploying a lot of the same schemes over and over again. And if they're not at 100% capacity, you would think Josh McDaniels, guys, who has faced this defense and with Tom Brady and Gronk mostly dominated it, should be able to have his way with it.
Who has the better coaching staff? Mike Tomlin. That's Patriots. Probably a little homerific because
got to be the Patriots.
Mike Tomlin has a Super Bowl ring and he's never had a losing season. I mean, I know it's been a while since he won a playoff game, but just to take a Pittsburgh perspective, if I were listening to us on the Odyssey app down in Pennsylvania, you guys think Mike Vrabel, who got fired in Tennessee and is now one and blah, blah, blah.
He had a Hall of Fame quarterback, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. So you believe that the Patriots have the coaching advantage in this game?
I do, yes. I think there's – you got, what, three or four former head coaches on this staff? You have a former head coach who also coached offensive line and Doug Marrone. Todd Dowling, Thomas Brown, Josh McDaniels. Those are all really good, solid position coaches. They were not so good head coaches, but they've been around. They've seen a lot, and I just think there's a lot of diversity in this coaching staff. So, yeah, I would say – I haven't looked at the Steelers, I'll be honest, coaching staff, all that close.
Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator. He's a former head coach, former Vrabel offensive
coordinator. He's the son of the FedEx owner.
Don't hold that against him. He's chosen not to take the family business and money.
$1 billion.
Yeah. He's chosen to work for it. That's admirable.
Yeah. Yeah, how hard? You know what I mean? Like when you got millions and millions and millions of dollars, how hard are you really working? Really,
I wish I had money to fall back on.
Please. One more thing. Andy, you thought the Patriots offensive line could be worse than last year's offensive line?
It is not.
It is certainly not. And
see, I'm a man. It's very simple. I can tell you what I see.
They were dead last in pass protection last year. They are ranked 10th in pass protection through two games so far.
Ted Johnson, you told me that Will Campbell couldn't play left tackle with those short arms. What have you thought through 2 weeks?
We're
going to play a tete-a-tete.
I question whether or not he would be, he's off to a good start. I think the jury's still out whether or not he's going to be your linchpin at left tackle.
I'm sold. He's your left tackle.
Okay,
I like everything I've seen about him. Well, not everything. There's been some penalties, some different little things. But for the most part, he looks like a rookie that I'm looking forward to what he is in four games from now and then eight games from now and down the road. I think he is a young, mean, hard, and hardworking. That's the part of it that we've had some guys come through here.
Trent Brown.
Please. Isaiah Wynn.
Please.
There's guys that have come through here that I think part of the issue of them not developing is they didn't do everything they needed to do to develop. Will Campbell. I'm not going to pretend I've sat down and broken bread with him.
But
he seems like a guy that's going to do what it takes to develop.
He came on our show and gave us an interview.
Yep.
So we love him for that. But you know what? You view a closer in baseball. I view the left tackle in football. Give me a nasty, tough SOB left tackle. I played with Bruce Armstrong. It was very tough, So those to me, those are great, great traits to have in that left tackle is just kind of a mean, nasty guy. That's Will.
And they change everything. If he is indeed the left tackle, that is like you bring up closer. Oh, you have a closer? Oh, I can look elsewhere and figure out my middle reliever and my setup. Like, it's just such a calming, everybody knows, okay, Will's over there at left tackle.
Yep, and I will say this. One little matchup to watch is T.J. Watt. Morgan Moses is probably played the worst of all the linemen, and he's the one that's got to go up against T.J. All day on Sunday.
It feels like, to me, sooner or later this season, Marcus Bryant's going to be your right tackle. That they are kind of comfortable with him, Fitzy, being in the conversation. I know Vrabel, I think it was last week, he was like, if Morgan can't go, Marcus will be in there. Like, he didn't have any hesitation of putting another rookie out there or rookie tackles both ends. Feels like, what do they say, Fitzy? Fait accompli?
Fait accompli.
Yeah, that he'll be out
there.
They've
been impressed with him. Like, this is the kid with size that they found in the draft. They got him in the sixth round, and standing immediately to his left would be another guy they found in the sixth round who's worked out on the line pretty well and is having a nice season to date, and that'd be Mike Onwenu.
Yeah, so for the first part, the leading part of Ted's build-up to the game on Sunday, I felt really good. Then he got to all the part about the guys that are new Steelers that kicked the Patriots' ass in recent years for other teams.
Last year's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's a different year. Last year, the Red Sox weren't in the playoffs come September 19th. Coming up next.
The Red Sox are also not in the playoffs.
Yeah, they are. They're the third wild card.
They are right now.
Wait till today finishes.
All right.
I'm a man who goes by literal, like they are in the playoffs. We're going to talk a little Red Sox baseball. Rob Bradford will join us. A big series in Tampa Bay. Big game tonight for Garrett Crochet. Must-win game for Garrett Crochet if you're going to stay in the playoff conversation. Little Rob Bradford Red Sox talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEEI. The Red Sox open up a three-game road series against the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. First pitch at 7:35. Garrett Crochet will start for Boston opposite Drew Rasmussen. Here is your lineup for tonight. Jaron Duran leads off in left, then it's Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Romy Gonzalez at second. Nate Eaton in right. Nathaniel Lowe at first. Carlos Narvaez is your catcher. And Seidon Rafaela is in center field, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcan is tonight at 6:35, and Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks have the call of the game. Kyle Harrison will start for the Sox tomorrow, with Connolly early scheduled to start on Sunday. The Patriots return to the practice field this morning. New England hosts the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Catch Ted Johnson and the crew on WEEI's Football Sunday beginning at 10. Then catch Fitzy and Hart on the Six Rings postgame show after the conclusion of the game. Mike Vrabel confirmed earlier today that Christian Gonzalez, Keon White, and Jack Westover are questionable for Sunday's game. No injury designation for the following players, as Christian Barmore was a limited participant in practice today, while Kalebon Chaisson, Carlton Davis, Harold Landry, Marte Mapu, Morgan Moses, and Jared Wilson were all full participants today. Note that defensive coordinator Terrell Williams will miss Sunday's game. Zach Kerr will assume the responsibilities in his absence once again. And finally, the New England Revolution visit the Philadelphia Union tomorrow afternoon. Kickoff is at 2:30. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
We got to play better baseball. That's it. I think offensively, some signs today, but we're not there. You know, we're not there offensively. And we just got to make sure we understand who we are as an offense, you know, try to keep the line moving. That kid, he threw a lot of strikes today compared to what he has done on the past. The mix was a little bit different, too. But that's, I mean, we have to make adjustments, right? And he did a good job against us.
That was the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora,
with us here on WEEI Afternoons earlier in this week, heading into the biggest series of the season again. And before the next one, that might be even bigger. To talk about it all, let's go to the phone lines. Our buddy Rob Bradford joining us here on WEEI Afternoon. Bradfo is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradfo, how we doing today?
Three things fire me up. Number one, Ace of Spades by Motorhead, which excellent job, Sis and Dan. Excellent job. Number two is yelling McFarland. McFarland, and number three is talking to you guys. So let's go. Let's do this.
Okay, so let's do this. Should I be concerned about the Red Sox right now? Where is your worry meter? I put out a poll the other day after the loss to the A's. It was, you're worried, you're really effing worried, or they're toast. Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I think you're worried. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing slightly above your worried, but I would still go with your worry.
You're not really effing worried yet?
No. They're still a playoff. No. I mean, here's the thing: is that right now they're a playoff team. They own the tiebreaker over Cleveland. I'm going to say all of this, and then I'm going to get to the reality of the situation. But you own the tiebreaker against Cleveland, and Cleveland. It's hard for me to think they're going to have another week like they just had. That'd be an insane hot streak at just the right time. Maybe they can do it. But all the Red Sox have to do is sort of go 500. So I think they can do that. And then you get into the playoffs, and then, you know, from there, I've seen stranger stories happen than the Boston Red Sox advancing. But all that said, right now, as we sit here, this, you should be worried. You should absolutely be worried, because this is not like other times where they've had downturns. This is not like other times where they say, oh, well, what are we going to do? This is, the lineup is thinned out more than ever. And when I say thinned out more than ever, I not only mean in terms of Anthony injuries, Abreu injuries, but I'm talking about the fact that Alex Bregman's OPS this month is about 4.5. You know, this, you cannot have that. The fact that Jarren Duran is, can't, if you put him up against a lefty pitcher, it's not going to usually be a good situation. The fact that you don't really have a whole lot of other guys in that lineup who can do the offense that they are planning to do, which is keep the line moving. They don't hit home runs. You got to keep the line moving. You got to play small ball, but you can only do that if guys get hits and you keep the line moving. You did it for one inning, that 6-run first against the Yankees. Fine, great, super. But that strategy only works if you have guys hitting. And right now, you have a couple holes in that lineup. I mentioned Bregman. Rafael is in the same boat. His numbers are putrid this month. And because of that, that's why you should be worried. And the other part about it, the last thing is that, yeah, you know, they've dug themselves out of holes before, but they haven't dug themselves out of holes where they're watching a scoreboard, where they're having everyone talk about this like we are. All this pressure is being put on a lot of people who have never experienced this type of pressure. That's why I think tonight's game is so huge.
Yeah, and recent performances would give you some confidence that Kyle Harrison and Connelly Early would be able to go to Tampa and pitch well enough to at least keep the Sox in the games. But Connelly Early pitched his ass off the other night, and regardless of whether or not Cora brought in the wrong guy in Weissert, he only gave up one run, and they still lost, Bradfo. And that's just an awful lot of pressure to put on these kids, you know, basically emptying Polar Park into the form of the Red Sox rotation. Like, all right, guys, go out there and give them hell. By the way, try not to give up more than a run.
Yeah, it's a great point, and that's the that's the problem, is that these aren't luxury items that you're rolling out there. They're nice stories. Connelly Early is a nice story. Peyton Tolley is a nice story, but they should be complimentary stories. You shouldn't have to, even though, I mean, going back to Roman Anthony, I mean, I think they got pretty fortunate that they were able to plop in a rookie, and he was able to basically do what Devers did in a different way, but fill in for the guy who left and make the offense go. That's an aberration. That doesn't usually happen. So now, you're right. You're sitting there. This is why tonight's so big, because if you don't win tonight, then you're relying on two guys who were just pitching exactly where I am right now at Polar Park about, you know, 2 weeks ago, and you're saying, go get them, go save our season, which should not be the case. this should not be the reality of this situation, but it is, and it's not about pitching. And I know that I said they're going to live and die with pitching. I think everybody thought that, but I did not expect the lineup and the offense to be this thinned out like it is right now.
You mentioned his name, Peyton Tolley, who had his first game in relief last night. He pitched three innings, gave up three hits and four Ks. What did you think of him in that role, and what do you think of him in that role moving forward?
I love it. You know, I think that that's the perfect role for him, and I think that he can be part of the solution. But here's the problem, is that Alex Cora, and I've said this before, like Alex Cora, the first couple of months, caught a lot of heat for his managing decisions, and he should have. But I think a big part of that was that, you know, he didn't really have a good feel for his team. He didn't know where all the pieces fit. And then finally Devers gets traded. It's easier to fit the pieces. You kind of know what you have, and then you go from here. Where they're left now is he's doing this on the fly in the last week of the season, trying to figure out, all right, when should I put in Greg Weissert? When should I put in Zach Kelly? When should I put in Peyton Tolley? How long a leash should I give these young starters? Like, all of this is stuff that in the middle of the season is fine because you have time to figure it out. Now every decision is the biggest decision, and so he has to figure out how much can they rely on Peyton Tolley. Yeah, it was great, man. Oh, my goodness. Striking out the side, blowing 99.7 miles per hour, poor guy, 0.3s away from 100 miles an hour, getting a T-shirt. But still, like the good, great. That was great for Peyton Tolley. But you don't know next time what that's going to look like because in the history of Peyton Tolley as a major leaguer, we have never seen the next time as a major league reliever.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and WEEI.com here with us on WEEI Afternoons. Bradfo, I'm going to tiptoe into this question because Ted gets mad at me when I ask controversial questions. But I've heard this topic been brought up a lot, so I think we need to discuss it. And so I'm going to put it on you instead of me because I talk to this man every Wednesday. If the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, is Alex Cora's job in jeopardy?
No, it's easy. Not. It flat out isn't. I mean, it's because the reality, and I know that, you know, when I was on Jones and Keefe yesterday, they asked this, but in the form of the question of who's to blame more, Craig Breslow or Alex Cora. And the reality is, I think probably it leans to Breslow, even though he's had done a lot of great stuff and obviously had a great offseason and made some good moves and developed some good players. But when you look at Alex Cora, I say, well, is his job at stake if they don't make the playoffs? You know, I just look at it this way. Like, what is he working with here, guys? I mean, you look at the lineup yesterday. It's like, this is what you're working with. You, I think I saw a stat from our guy, Gary Marbury, Nugget Palooza, who said since the beginning of August, they have a total of two home runs with guys on base. Like, that's God. Crazy. So you can't.
Is that real?
You know,
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, wait. Since August, they've only had two home runs with guys on base?
I mean, I think that was the stat. Yep. Like, they have 22 home runs.
They don't hit home runs anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't hit home runs. And when they do, there's not anybody on base.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would say this, you know, again, to come back to the core conversation, is that his fault? Like, I think he's bobbing and weaving his way around trying to find a leadoff hitter after Roman and Anthony. And for him, is it his fault that Jaron Duran can't hit lefties, so he can't lead him off there? Is it his fault that all of a sudden Sadon Rafaela has become one of the worst hitters in baseball? You know, I know that a lot of people say, yeah, it is his fault because he's the coach and he has to teach him. That's not how this works. At this time of year, you either have talent or you don't. And right now, this team right now, you can't stack up their talent against the rest of the postseason teams.
Bradfo, we got anything on Willie or Abreu? I mean, we heard the other day from Cora on his Wednesday appearance with us that he'd need a day or two off. He was still sore, but, you know, working his way through it. And a return wasn't imminent, but coming close. Like, this team is so desperate for power or anybody that can shake things up offensively that now, like, we're clock watching his return with just 10 days left, 9 days left.
Yeah, well, we should be, Fitzy. I mean, we should be because, you know, this is a guy, you know, we're looking for guys to get on my back guys, right? The guys who are going to be like, say, okay, you know, I'm going to take the pressure off everybody. And then because of that, everybody else will do well. You keep waiting for Bregman to do that. He's been the opposite of it. You wait for Duran to do that. He's been the opposite. Story's been good, but still you look at his OPS, you know, he's still sitting at 750 OPS. I mean, he's having a really, really good year. But anybody who thinks he's going to opt out is crazy. So, you know, I think that when you look at Abreu, that's the guy you can pinpoint games and series where he has carried them. And you know why? Because he's the guy who hits home runs. He's the only guy with, you know, with 20 home runs, right? He's the only guy on the team. So that's the guy that you're missing. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that normally you're able to ease him in there. Maybe you don't take a chance with his calf so early, but you have no choice. You have to figure out what you have in him. And, you know, if he blows out, he blows out. But you certainly need him, you know, just as much as, maybe as much as anybody, with the exception of Roman Anthony.
Rob, my guy, St. Bregman, just, you mentioned it, he's struggling. And it's just, he got off to the best start of his career.
Yeah, he inverted his season. Now he's sucking at the end.
I mean, and he gets the injury and he hasn't been the same. I mean, are you hearing anything, Rob? What's, I don't know, is he, I mean, all we did was hear stories about him being engaged and, you know, and guys talking to him. And now it's just, I know he's struggling. It's hard to be that leader when you're not hitting yourself. Is there any explanation as to why Alex is, you know, not hitting the ball right now?
You know, before I get to maybe the reasons why he isn't hitting, Ted, you bring up an excellent point, which I wonder if it's the same in football. But I've been around a lot of baseball players who are perceived as leaders, but when they're not doing well, they don't feel like they are in a position to lead.
Right.
They don't feel like they're in a position to get, hey, let me tell you how to do it, when they're not doing it. You know, and I've had plenty of guys who are legit leaders. There's some guys who, you know, like, for instance, a Cora when he was playing, a Gomes when he was playing, they knew they were going to hit 200. So that wasn't a part of the deal. Part of Bregman's deal is he's one of the best players, so he's going to tell you how to be one of the best players, but not in a preachy way. So that's a very real dynamic. And then in terms of why he isn't producing, listen, I don't have anything on the record. I don't think have anything definitive, but I gotta feel like there's something going on in that leg. And, you know, whether it's his quad or whether it's the impact of something else because of the quad, whatever it is. But a player of that caliber just doesn't take the downturn that he did to this level without being banged up. And I cited this the other day, that the guy that I always remember when it comes to that is Pedroia. Like, Pedroia, you would always, I had a good relationship with him, and he would always say, I have this, but don't say anything. I have this, but don't say anything. So you knew when he was hurt, and I've never seen a player where you definitively, when he was healthy, he was always good. When he wasn't good, it was always because of some injury. But these guys, especially at this time of year, they're never, ever going to say, hey, you know what? I got this problem, and that's why I'm not producing right now.
All right, Bradfo, before we let you go, get out that Baseball Isn't Boring crystal ball presented by McFarlane and tell me what's going to happen tonight. Is Crochet going to go out there and deal and be the ace they need him to be? Or is the guy who's been giving up home runs lately potentially going to give up home runs in a home run hitting ballpark?
Yeah, well, it goes without saying, they better hope he's good, Crochet. But this is there's no room for interpretation now. This is playoffs. Like, this is postseason. This is when you need him, for all the reasons we said. This is why the ace has to step up. You have the ace step up, which he has so many times, where you protect the day before, you protect the day of, and you protect the day after. Well, today he's protecting all of that, but he's protecting the day after too, because you do not want to come out losing today and have to say, go get him, Kyle Harrison and Conley early. That's at Steinbrenner Field, where it's a weird, wonky atmosphere. That's not what you want to do. So I do think that Crochet, I think he has stepped up when it's counted the most, and he probably will. But the caveat with that, all right, you know what? The guy in Arizona, Brandon Pfaadt, pitched 9 innings, gave up 1 hit, no runs yesterday, and lost. It can happen. It can happen if you don't have a good offense.
If only the Red Sox were as dependable as our friends at McFarlane Energy, this would all be
well said. Well said.
All right, Bradfo, we'll talk to you next week. See how I snuck that in there, Bradfo? You like that, didn't you? We'll talk to you next week.
I do like that. That's excellent.
See you, Rob.
All right. See you guys. See you.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, joins us here on WEEI Afternoons. Up next, we'll preview that Garrett Crochet must-win start tonight in Tampa. Is he up to the task? We'll see where Ted Johnson and Nick Fitzy-Stevens' faith is after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
If the Red Sox don't make the playoffs, is Alex Cora's job in jeopardy?
No, it's easy. Not. It flat out isn't. The reality is I think probably it leans to Breslow, even though he's had done a lot of great stuff and obviously had a great offseason and made some good moves and developed some good players. But when you look at Alex Cora, I say, well, is his job at stake if they don't make the playoffs? You know, I just look at it this way. Like, what is he working with here, guys?
Rob Bradford, just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. And I'm going to nitpick myself there, Ted. I screwed the question up. I shouldn't have asked him, will his job be in jeopardy? It should be, should his job be in jeopardy? Get the opinion of the guest. And I'm going to ask you the same question, both of you guys. If the Red Sox miss the playoffs, which again, the numbers still have it at 83%+ that they're going to make the playoffs. But if they miss the playoffs, regardless of what he's working with, all the details, should Alex Cora's job be in jeopardy? Ted.
You can't ask me that question and say regardless of all the injuries.
Right. No, but
because that factors into what my opinion will be.
What has happened 5 straight years now?
Yeah, they've tailed off, but he has a better winning percentage in the second half of this season than he has in a long time. Now, this last September hasn't been great.
Nope.
But what has he had to work with to answer the question that Bradfoe asked?
But if talent only wins, then why do I have a $7 million a year manager?
Oh, come on.
I'm just asking the questions.
Talent wins in baseball?
No, I do.
That's ultimately what you need to have?
Which is why I wouldn't fire the manager, because I think the most overrated thing we all do is like micro-analyze everything the manager does. I think more often than not, it's the talent that wins and loses.
And you hear Bradfoe say that, look, Breslow had a good offseason, and he did, right? I mean, Garrett Crochet, Chapman, Bregman. But what did his trade deadline look like? There's a lot of people are still pointing to his trade deadline, which I think is harder to navigate and to probably pull off good deals. But I think a lot of times it's the deals you make at the trade deadline that kind of make the difference.
Fitzy, we're doing radio and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here because hopefully they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe they'll even go on a run. That would be nice. But do you think there has to be fallout if they don't? And if it's not Cora, is whatever Bradfo said, is Breslow's job in jeopardy if they don't make the playoffs?
No. No, Breslow's job is not in jeopardy. This run of injuries, this litany of people getting hurt from your best power hitter in right field, he's been out now for over a month, which caught everybody off guard. You're the face of the franchise of the future, the guy that basically sparked your turnaround post-Devers. He strains his oblique. He's going to be out probably until the playoffs, at which point I don't even know if they could make it to that far. All these guys, your shortstop of the future, Meyer got hurt. How long has it been since Meyer's been around? Like, that's been forever. You've had, and Bregman, he's not right. Bradfo is 100%. He's not telling everyone how bad the injury is affecting him at the plate or in the field or both. You can't have this many injuries. If they get into the playoffs at this point now, it will be with grit, resolve, previously stacked up victories, and pitching. And, you know, you're pointing to tonight, gotta have it tonight.
Yes.
Crochet.
Yes.
He's going up against a lefty that is also really, really, like Rasmussen has like a 2.7 and strikes out a bunch of people, not as many as Crochet, but he's a damn good pitcher. And Crochet's going up against a decent lineup, and Rasmussen is going up against the Woo Sox.
So I should bet the under if I'm going to bet anything tonight. Now, this is a Crochet day. Like, if you want to be that guy, and I know we kind of put the cart ahead of the horse with Crochet, and because we get caught up in the money and who he is and the trade, like, we forget he's still a relatively young ace.
Very young.
Like, in this world of, everybody needs to jump on your back. This is your team. I need you to do whatever it takes to win tonight. He hasn't been in this role. This is basically the first time he's been in this role. He's never been in this role before, right? He wasn't. The White Sox were the worst team in the history of baseball, and the Red Sox just got back. So this is his first pennant chase race. Need ya, ace. There's no options other than you get the job done. Another thing that just popped up, and I hate to bring this up because this is questioning people that I would consider real world people, not sports people. Mm-hmm. Like Alex Cora, Craig Breslow. Okay, you're a manager, you're a GM. People question your job security all the time. But it just hit me when you were talking, Fitzy. So their three best hitters had soft tissue muscle injuries. Is that an issue with like strength and conditioning or training staff?
I've always thought they were on different pages when it comes to the pitching staff from the very beginning. I mean, think about the problems this team had at the beginning of the year when it came to philosophy around pitching. Mm. Like they were throwing all, you know, everything was breaking. And now they've changed to more fastballs. Is that changing your philosophy? Is that led to the injuries? But I do have to give this, I mean, a little bit of a break with the injuries. I mean Tristan Casas, Hunter Dobbins, you know, Tanner Houck, Willy Abreu, Marcelo Meyer, you know, Anthony, you know, Roman Anthony. There's just so many guys that have been injured. It's hard for me to look at Cora and go, he's got to go. There's so many guys that have gotten hurt or just not even come. Willy Abreu was the hottest hitter for this team to start the season. And when's the last time he's played? So to get mad, I think to put this on Alex Cora, I'm sorry. I have a hard time doing that when you look at all the injuries.
All right, we're all on the same page. We'll talk to the manager next Wednesday here on WEEI Afternoons. Looking forward to that chat. Hopefully up next here, we will get into the 5 o'clock hour. That means it's time for the drive here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.